Listening into that now, epidemiologist at the University of Otago, Nick Wilson. Reminding you, it's been the 10th consecutive day of no new cases of COVID-19, plus no additional deaths, only one case active, that case not in hospital. That was as of yesterday. A lot is being considered, however, about making the move. And to talk through some of that, we welcome back epidemiologist at the University of Otago, Nick Wilson. Good morning.
Kia ora, Kat.
What are the calculations being made around when to move alert levels?
Well, we've done some modelling work which looked at the time to elimination, and that suggested that we needed about 4 weeks of no new cases to give us about a 95% assurance of elimination. And that would go up to 5 to 6 weeks if we wanted a 99% assurance of elimination. Now, the problem is that the Ministry of Health website is lacking the key information about when the last infectious person went into isolation. So I'm just guessing, really, that we are in that probably 95% plus situation at the moment. But it is very unfortunate that we don't have really good data on the Ministry's website to really inform these decisions.
We'll come back to that in a moment. The dates could be one of several. Just referencing New Zealand Herald, Derek Cheng's work here. He has outlined a case from May 22nd. However, that is the current active case. But actually, she's been in isolation, I think, or has been pretty much in a situation where she couldn't or shouldn't be spreading from March. It was a late declaration of her being found to be positive. Then we go back to an earlier case, May 15th. The most recent infectious case, because the Auckland woman had been in isolation since March. You could go back to May 14th, where there was another case, May 10th, which was the Waitakere nurses. Any of these dates could theoretically be the last infectious case. And what you're saying is you don't know which of them is being counted as that.
That's correct. And, there's a lot of detail around each of these cases that would remove concern. You know, if they've rapidly gone into isolation, then there's, minimal risk of community spread. So it could be that we actually have gone 5 or more weeks since the last infectious person was actually moving around in the community. But we need that information to, for the public to make an informed decision, and, the media and researchers to critically comment on these timelines.
The other matter under consideration was the move from alert level 3 to 2, and particularly a week later, the loosening around pubs and bars, and then this weekend just gone, gatherings are allowed to go to 100. Now, part of the reason, I suppose, of looking at what happens with that is that we know there has been some reporting of asymptomatic cases. We know there's the possibility of cases out there that are existing but have not been identified. How significant is that risk, do you believe?
Well, I really think the risk is probably extremely low now. We may have already eliminated all transmission in the community. But we really need to be thinking in the future about the possibility of border control failures, even though that's a very small risk. And so I would like to see level one redesigned so that there would be something like a 200-person limit on events until we have the digital technologies available for really fast contact tracing. We just don't have those in place at the moment. We're really still way behind Taiwan, South Korea in terms of digital tech for contact tracing, and I'd really like to see those things in place, and then maybe that 200 person limit in a new level one could be then removed if we had that level of assurance.
Nick, is it possible that the underlying issue is the contact tracing systems are still not good enough, and that is why we are waiting?
That might be one of the reasons, but you know, that is something which is entirely fixable. And, you know, we should have been learning far more about these things from places like Taiwan and South Korea, as I said. But it's not only that. You know, we should have made the most of level 4 and level 3 to get mask use really embedded in New Zealand culture. And even if we move to a level 1, I think we absolutely should have masks required on aircraft, for example, you know, just like countries like Canada are requiring now. So we still have not really learnt about some of these state-of-the-art tools to protect the population without, you know, having the disruption of going back to a lockdown situation, which would be disastrous economically.
The Ministry's latest data on contact tracing shows it had taken a step backwards in how long it took to isolate someone's close contacts from the time that initial case had COVID-19 symptoms. I think it was back to 9 days for the latest batch. Is that concerning to you?
Yes, it is a concern. And you know, I know the government's been putting a lot of good effort into things like a COVID card, which is a Bluetooth-enabled card, but that's still probably weeks away. So I really think we should look at the type of telecom and GPS tracking systems as potential for contact tracing in an emergency situation if we have outbreaks, and get those systems ready to go. Until we get things like the COVID card that's brought in maybe in a month or so's time.
You mentioned you're still not seeing the data that researchers want to see available on the Ministry website. Why not? Why is this not as sharp and as transparent and as open to all the brains of the country as it could be?
Yes, this is mysterious. I mean, the Ministry have made some improvements to their website, but you know, we've been calling on these types of improvements for maybe even 6 weeks, particularly my colleague Michael Baker, and it's just completely unacceptable because, you know, this problem, this pandemic's cost the country billions of dollars. So we need to have state-of-the-art processes for everything. And that requires really good data on the website. And we should, you know, have state-of-the-art contact tracing, should make proper use of masks, improvements at the border. They've happened, but they were slow. So although New Zealand's done a great job overall with, you know, probably now the lowest death rate from COVID in the OECD, along with Australia. So it's a fantastic effort. But We've taken a sledgehammer approach with the lockdown, and we should have been using all these other tools much better because, you know, Taiwan has had virtually no lockdown.
Why aren't we? Could you systemically throw some light on why this doesn't seem to be happening or happening at the speed one would think justified given the billions of dollars of consequence and the job losses and everything else of the length and severity of our lockdown?
Well, from the very start, New Zealand wasn't properly prepared for pandemics. And although it had a reasonable pandemic plan, an international organisation graded New Zealand's pandemic preparedness only 54 out of 100 last year. So, you know, it was quite obvious we weren't prepared and we learnt nothing from SARS, whereas a lot of Asian countries learnt a lot from SARS and upgraded their public health infrastructure. So we weren't prepared, and then we've used the lockdown, which was very successful, but we didn't take that opportunity to really look at these other things like appropriate mask use. You know, New Zealand's way behind nearly every other high-income country in terms of mask use. So that was an inexcusable failing, in my view. And we've made some progress with apps and things, but just not fast enough. I think this really highlights we need very good public health infrastructure, and that's been run down over decades by, you know, a number of governments.
has it been too tightly held within that infrastructure? Could there have been others with expertise made greater use of?
I suspect so. You know, this required a whole of government response, and I do wonder if the Ministry of Health was overloaded. They should have handed over more tasks to MB and other government organisations so that they could work on things like getting the contact tracing right. And when you look at other countries, they made much more use of the military to help out in various ways. That's been pretty minimal in New Zealand. So I think when there's a big inquiry at the end of this, that'll be one of the problems. We didn't really properly take a whole-of-government approach, and we just didn't throw enough resource at fixing this quickly so we could get out of lockdown fast.
Well, also the private sector, it was private sector business leaders who were doing things like flying in plane loads of PPE and taking some significant roles as liaison between the bureaucracy and others. And is it possible that their expertise has not been welcomed in more into areas like trying to get the absolutely optimal contact tracing systems devised and devised sooner?
Well, certainly they have had a big role and they've helped a lot, so that's been fantastic. And you sort of expect in a smaller country like New Zealand that sort of collaboration can work well, but we can't rely on it, so we need an extremely good public health system to be able to cope with these pandemics, which come along several times a century, but, you know, the risk may be increasing in various ways. So, you know, we should be learning everything we can about the response to this pandemic so that we can just do it so much better and more like places like Taiwan in the future and avoid a lockdown.
Your latest co-authored report, you've also been urgently calling on the government to define elimination. Why?
Because this is an issue of careful science and consideration. If we want to open our borders with, say, Australia in a trans-Tasman bubble, we need good agreement. We need to show the Australians that we're doing the adequate level of testing and surveillance to show that we haven't got any undetected chains of transmission. So this is quite a standard thing. You know, whenever New Zealand's eliminated other diseases, it's had a definition, it's done surveillance for years afterwards to confirm it. And this is standard process. I just can't understand why the ministry haven't got a scientific panel working with the Australians on this and similarly working with Pacific Island countries so that there's agreed definitions so we can open up travel with them.
Thank you. Nick Wilson, epidemiologist at the University of Otago.